At the DGDG Mazda stores, we make car buying affordable. Hey, this is Sean Del Graham for Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. And we make car buying more affordable with sweet dealer discounts, low APR financing, low monthly lease payments, and even gas-saving plug-in hybrids. Come see how easy and affordable car buying can be at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Episode 11 of our Stanley Cup Playoff Report series for the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. We have five games done in one series as we go to record this and four games done in the other. It is continuing to be very tight, some amazing stories and great hockey. But overall, Drew, we've got no decisions yet as to either team having any advantage, really.
Yeah, when you look at it, the games are so close. And these are four teams who deserve to be where they are, four of the best teams in the league, four teams that either any one of them could win the cup. They've had good moments, the tough moments. And right now it comes down to luck. It comes down to your stars showing up. It comes down to your depth guys. It comes down to a save. All the things we love about playoff hockey. It's been a really good playoffs this year for the National Hockey League.
Well, let's go right to the Western Conference and the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars. What an amazing game number four that was played in Edmonton with all kinds of twists and turns to it. One thing that we found out, Drew, is no lead is safe in these playoffs. None.
No, not at all. It doesn't even matter which side we're talking about. Eastern Conference, Western Conference. In game three, we already talked about it, where the Oilers got out to a great start and then Dallas roared back. Well, this time in game four, Dallas got out to a really quick start. Early in the game, they're up by two. But as we know in playoff hockey, as you just said, no lead safe.
They took the 1-0 lead when Wyatt Johnston scored his ninth goal of the playoffs 58 seconds after the opening faceoff.
Has it neutral territory. Tapped it in and the Stars rush in. Shot, score! Wyatt Johnston! From the left wing circle. They wanted a better start. They get one 58 seconds in.
You know, I was talking with Wyatt about shooting the puck this morning. He came into tonight's game with 87 shots on goal. And if you include missed net shots, that leads the Stars by a mile. This one hit the net. They get it in neutral ice. Kulak, who I don't think ever plays the right side on defense, just gets singed right at the blue line. He's trying to step up. The puck bounces past. It's Wyatt Johnston on his offside. He's a right shooting forward coming in on the left wing, and he puts this over the glove of Stuart Skinner to get the Stars' tail in the air here in game four, a minute in.
Daryl Ray's analysis there, very interesting, Drew, in the fact that we've seen this a million times. When you've got a defenseman that's, say, a left shot playing on the right side, it's a lot more difficult to make the judgment and make the play. Making matters worse, Johnston, a right shot coming in on the offside, has a better angle to shoot the puck.
Yeah, absolutely. You've put it perfectly. Brett Hedekin talks about it all the time on the righty lefties, being on the side that you're used to, being on the side where you have the advantage with the stick in the middle. You're absolutely right. You've described it to a T.
Esa Lindell also was having an excellent Stanley Cup playoff series, and he made it 2-0 in favor of the Stars, and we weren't even 6 minutes into the game.
Shot by Lindell, score! It redirected right off the draw. And Dallas has a 2-0 lead here 5.5 minutes into game four.
Okay, so you think you might as well just fold the tent and go home, but that's not the way these playoffs have been. And it's probably a bit of a lesson to any team in the regular season that even if you're down 2-0, you just have to keep playing.
Yeah, but how much did we see it with the Sharks over the last couple of years where they would get the lead? They would have a lead in the second period and then the third period not be able to keep it. Or we saw it. Well, it happens funny. I was watching Danny over again, the great comeback against the Vegas Golden Knights. It just happened to come up on my YouTube feed. And I was like, yeah, why not? Let's watch this. And it was fantastic to watch. You're never out of a playoff game. Bob Erie, 16 points. You're never out of a game. And I thought this game, when they were down to nothing, the Oilers then put in the best performance they put in this year in the playoffs.
Well, without question, it seems like that they're gaining in their resolve. And, you know, Coach Chris Knobloch was asked about that, and he discussed what it felt like on the bench and in the room after being down 2-0.
Yeah, it wasn't the start that we wanted, and it was almost a point where it was a must-win game. And, you know, I don't think everyone was down, they were disappointed, but I don't think there was any distraction on what needed to be done. And we've clawed our way out of bad situations before. And, you know, I think we were, yeah, disappointed, but we're optimistic.
Well, they were optimistic, but one thing that they're learning to do is to claw out of those situations, which they really hadn't done a lot before.
You're absolutely right. They were poised. They were professional. They didn't try to just go out and outscore and just open the game up. They stayed structured, and that led to their comeback and how good they were in that game.
And also the buttons that Coach Chris Knobloch pushed by putting Corey Perry and Ryan McLeod back in. And wouldn't you know it, they got things started.
Here's Nurse to Perry over the line. A rich shot juggled by Otter. Rebound, score! Ryan McLeod! And boy, did he need that! His first point of any kind in the playoffs. And he puts the Oilers right back in this game. It's 2-1.
Check out the line score on that first goal, Drew. McLeod's first goal of the playoffs, Corey's first assist of the playoffs, and the guy that everybody is beating up on, Darnell Nurse, coming up with the assist. I thought a couple of days ago when he had the one-word answers to all of the questions that were put, it shows the pressure that he's under. And everybody's just looking at his salary and looking at his plus-minus number. But he's so much more than that for the Edmonton Oilers, as you and I know.
Yeah, and the guys really made a point. Chris Knobloch, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl all made a point after the game to commend Darnell on how he played in this game. He was he had three blocks, 12 hits. He had that assist, but you mentioned it, Danny, and you're absolutely right. The buttons that were pushed and changed, the lineup changes that Chris Knobloch made, really worked out well. I was shocked, and I guess I shouldn't be after all these years, seeing how much of an impact Corey Perry made in that game. He's getting a little older, excuse me, and he hadn't played in forever and was really, really good in that game.
Well, when you think about it too, what a crazy season he's had, starting off in Chicago, having everything happen there that went wrong in his personal life, then come back and get a chance to play in Edmonton. The fact that they gave him an opportunity is almost a miracle in and of itself. And now he's right there again. And once again, it's playoff time, whether he plays in the uniform of the Lightning, the Ducks, the Canadiens, doesn't matter who he plays for, Dallas, doesn't matter. He's somebody that's definitely going to be there. And that kind of sparked things there. There's another guy in Edmonton, too, that has been having a remarkable playoff, and that, of course, is Evan Bouchard, and he came up big again.
The Oilers were able to power their way through the middle. Here's Nugent Hopkins off a check. McDavid's free, a shot tonight, rebound, score! And this game is tied! Evan Bouchard sliding back door, pumps it into the back of the net, and Edmonton is tied! Game four, 2-2!
Okay, end of the first period. They're all even 2-2. Everything is back to even for Edmonton. And I must say, Evan Bouchard is leading all defensemen in scoring, and he's got a nice lead over Miro Heiskanen, who's a pretty darn good defenseman. Only one game's played difference, but Bouchard has 23 points, and Heiskanen is in second with 16.
He's got a bomb of a shot on power play. He can rip it, although in the power plays have not been have had any significance in this series. Both teams are 0-4 in this series. He is a guy that can jump up in the play. His play has really elevated this year. And you know, you got to give credit to, I'm going to give credit to Dave Manson, who was there before and worked with Bouchard last year, and then Paul Coffey coming in this year. That must have really helped Evan with his game when you've got two really, really good veteran defensemen now who are coaching you and helping you evolve as a player.
One thing that's been an interesting sidebar to all of these playoffs has been what the ex-players have done to their former teams. Matthias Janmark, of course, used to play for the Dallas Stars, and now he plays for the Edmonton Oilers. And in the second period, he scored what may be the most important goal of the series so far, shorthanded.
Sullivan and Duchesne. Harley this time shoots, and that was blocked in front. And it's Connor Brown, 2-on-1, shorthanded. Brown in over the line, left wing, centers. What timer score! Matthias Janmark has given Edmonton its first lead of the night, 3-2.
And guess what? The lead got extended less than a minute later, essentially, when the Oilers came in and the big guys stepped up.
Killed off 22 in a row in the postseason, a club record. Now a steal by Draisaitl to Hyman. Back to Draisaitl. Shoots and scores! 4-2! Edmonton extends to a two-goal lead!
Draisaitl and Hyman on that play, but Connor McDavid in the middle of all of it, too, poking the puck and getting it, and Hyman flipping it over to Draisaitl. Once again, that was less than a minute after that shorthanded goal. Edmonton has the ability to explode, Drew. You've seen it, and I've seen it so many times, but that really was a killer.
Yeah, it was. And it was Heiskanen who made a mistake on that play. He puts the puck up the boards, and then he into pressure, and then he jumps up into the middle looking to get the puck back. And then it comes back the other way. It was played so poorly off the turnover, and then off that 2-on-1. I don't remember. I can't remember who his partner was there. Was it Lundqvist? I can't remember. Anyway,
I believe so.
He played it terrible, and Draisaitl put that puck in all day long. But that was those two goals off the power play. Or off the shorthanded situation, looked like the Dallas Stars are going to take the advantage. They weren't able to. Instead, they're down by two after that. And that's really where the game just completely went the Oilers' way.
And actually, I just checked it out. Lindell was the guy on the ice along with Heiskanen right on that play. They've been playing great in the playoffs, but unfortunately, a little bit of a blip in the time capsule when it was least effective. And Edmonton takes a major league, and they finish things off with an empty netter at the end for Matthias Ekholm.
David and Nugent Hopkins could not muscle it out. Ben will shovel it down low. Bouchard is up and okay. Ekholm wires it. Score! 190 feet! Is going to be tied.
2-2 after 4 games. Now the series shifts to Dallas. Drew, take a look at the scoring in the NHL. Forget about just defensemen. The top three scorers are all Edmontonians. McDavid with 28 points. He had a couple of assists in this game. Draisaitl with that big goal now has 10 in the playoffs. He's got 26 points. And we already mentioned Bouchard with 23. It's no surprise. These guys have been doing it for years now. But it's kind of interesting that in the tighter quarters of the playoffs, they continue to really produce and come up big.
Well, they're especially Leon and Connor. They're two of the best in the world, if not the best. We can argue about that, and you know, at a later time. But they're two great players. But what the big talk about this series coming in was the depth of the Dallas Stars versus the Stars of the Edmonton Oilers. Well, you pointed out with Janmark, with Perry, with McLeod, that the situation for the Edmonton Oilers is that their depth showed up big time. And that's why they were able to even the series in game four.
Assessing all 4 games, Coach Chris Knobloch of the Oilers had some things he wanted to work on and some things he was particularly proud of.
Well, one thing I need to clean up is just having the 60 minutes. And, you know, each team's been having their roller coaster moments where this looked really well and other times when they can't really generate very much. And, you know, we'd like to have more of a push for 60 minutes and, you know, it's enough. It's easy to say, let's play 60 minutes because it's we are playing a pretty good team and they will have their moments. But I think the longer we can have our moments and play our game, obviously that gives us a better opportunity to win that game. The other one is, I think the special teams have been so good and penalty kill, power play, obviously not many opportunities, you know, one, maybe two a game. The one that we had the other night looked pretty good. We had some opportunities, and it's only a matter of time before that puck goes in.
But it was the shorthanded play by Janmark that really did things in this game.
Yeah, it was the penalty kill. And like I said, there's both teams are 0 for on their power plays, so that both teams are doing a great job on their penalty killing. But that shorthanded goal was the game changer because it was the power play situation where the Dallas Stars can take the lead. If they could find a way to get the puck in the net, they couldn't do it. And the Oilers strike on a good play and Janmark getting into the right position at the right time, and that changed the game completely.
Kind of interesting to note that both of these teams have played a lot of hockey over the last 3 years in the playoffs. Edmonton's played 44 games in playoff action in the last three seasons, Drew, and the Dallas Stars have played 43. The only team that's played more is the Florida Panthers. They've played 47 games because of that long playoff run last year and what they're having to deal with this year. But let's talk about that fatigue factor that always comes in. Jamie Benn, the captain of the Dallas Stars, who's having a pretty darn good playoff with he's 15th in scoring, 15 points in 17 games so far, talked about the fact that it's all that training you have to do in the summer that makes it a little bit easier right now.
Yeah, that's why we train and do what we do all year. So we're feeling good in this time of year, and nothing better than playoff hockey. This is where we want to be, and really doesn't matter how you're feeling. You get a lot of emotion, excitement, and adrenaline when game time comes.
Yeah, Drew, but he sounds like he's conserving energy as sitting there in the press conference.
Yeah, it's as well as I do. We've seen the Sharks go a long way in the playoffs, and we've seen the Sharks play a lot of playoff games back in the heyday, and it's exhausting. It's a tough grind. 82, and then try to grind out another 6 weeks of high intensity hockey. You've got to make sure you get your rest and recovery.
Reminds me of that line from the Shawshank Redemption. Just give me that chance. Just give me that chance, Warden. And that's
exactly
all you really want. And you know, it's something for us to think about too, as we approach development camp. Will Smith signed, Macklin Celebrini probably going to get drafted and probably going to get signed. When these young guys come in, they're going to need to get that base going quickly.
Yeah. And that's why you have the great strength and conditioning coaches that the Sharks have. That's why you got to go to work. You have to put that effort in. The ones that like, watching Connor McDavid like I did all those years, watching Patty Marleau like we did all those years, watching Brent Burns all those years. They put the work in. They know that you have to have not only the base, then you have to keep improving on it. You cannot be content with who you are as an 18-year-old thinking, oh, I got this, because the guys that are here already and been successful, they have put in not only the work, but extra work.
Well, it's the old saying, it's hard enough to get here, but it's a lot harder to stay here. And that's exactly what these guys are learning. Wyatt Johnston's definitely not going anywhere. He's having an amazing career already at the young age that he's at. And he talked about living up to the moment of the challenge and enjoying that challenge. And that's what he's facing in game five.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we all, dream of. It's what we play for all year. Regular season is to be in these moments, and I mean, we're where we want to be, and so, yeah, I mean, it's not letting, the moment get you, but I mean, I think we all just want to take advantage of this opportunity, and it's what you play for, so I think it's just exciting for us to, have the opportunity there to, make it to the finals and win the Stanley Cup.
What do you think of Wyatt Johnston?
I am impressed with him. It's no surprise that he's learning from one of the best in Joe Pavelski. He lives with the Pavelski family. Joe's taken him under his wing. He gets to play with Jamie Benn. Peter DeBoer and Jim Neal have done it right. They've put this young star with older stars to show him, help him guide the way. But at 21 years old, it's absolutely amazing that he does not feel the pressure one bit.
Big, big thing that's going to put pressure on Dallas, especially on defense now, is the potential loss of Chris Tanev. And he has been such maybe the best trade deadline acquisition of any team in the NHL, has been a huge part of this Dallas run, but took that shot on the ankle, looked like, and left and didn't play. And Pete DeBoer was relatively positive about the fact that he was going to get back in. But that's a playoff coach speak, I think, and you have to worry about where he's going to be here next game.
Apparently he was in a walking boot yesterday, so that's not a good sign. We'll see tonight as we record this whether he'll be in the lineup or not, but you're 100% right. He has been the best acquisition at the trade deadline, and he's such a good player. So good.
So what does Coach DeBoer do now? Does he put in – is Hakanpää ready to play? Are they going to put Lundqvist in? What are they going to do?
I think Lundqvist is coming in, to tell you the truth. I don't think Hakanpaa's ready. And that's the other thing we have mentioned. I mean, he's a big miss as well, as or absence, I should say. But I think Lundqvist comes into play that to try to make up. And yeah, Lundell and Heiskanen play a lot more.
We continue now with the Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We go back east for the New York Rangers and the Florida Panthers. Game number 5 at Madison Square Garden on Thursday. Rangers, again, looking for better play from the big guys. In fact, a police report from the NYPD was sent to me a couple of days ago by Pete Stemkowski. And it was saying, a missing persons report. Please send them to Madison Square Garden. Pictures of Chris Kreider and Mika Zibanejad and also Artemi Panarin. I thought it was really a kind of a funny meme that was put out there. Ranger fans always very creative with that sort of stuff. But as it turned out, it would be a very, very big moment for the Rangers to come up with the very first goal of the game, at least, to give them an opportunity to win this one.
50 seconds to go in the Florida power play. In comes Kachuk to the Rangers zone. Gave it away. Brought out by Kreider to Zibanejad. Kreider up the middle. Breaks to the net. Kreider scores! A shorthanded goal by Chris Kreider gives the Rangers a 1-0 lead.
Well, you talk about getting yourself in the right position to make a play. Once this puck gets turned over at the Rangers' defensive blue line, Kreider takes off. He goes through the neutral zone like he's shot out of a cannon. Zibanejad lays it into him, and I'll tell you, he does a great job as he powers his way into the offensive zone, and then, whoops, see you later, alligator. Back in the net, Shorty, the sixth of the playoffs for the Rangers, 1-0 Blue Shirts.
That was a shorthanded goal. Had a different effect, really, on this game than the Janmark one did in the Edmonton series. But I must take a time out for a second. That's Sam Rosen and Dave Maloney on the call for Ranger Radio. And we know Sam Rosen has had a couple of health issues in recent days. I'm so happy to hear that he's back.
Yeah, I understand. I was thinking the same thing, Danny. Great to see Sam back. One of the great ones, not only for the Rangers, but in the National Hockey League.
Well, here we are with the Rangers up by the score of 1-0. And so what's going to happen next? Well, obviously, it's going to be the Florida Panthers coming back, and somebody that we've been talking about quite a bit during the course of this playoffs. Gustav Forsling was the man who scored this big goal, and what a play it was.
Fox and the Rangers backed up to their own line. Fox lobs it along. Lafreniere pass across. Trocheck there, and then he had it poked away by Ekblad. Back go the Panthers. Bennett down to our left over the Rangers' blue line. Bennett heads in, threads it. Forsling backhand, and he scores! Gus Forsling ties the game. What a feed from Bennett. It's 1-1 with 11:39 to go here in the second.
What did you see on that play, Drew, if you can remember it for us?
Just first off, Forsling attacking with speed up the ice, gives the puck up, then he jumps into the hole, which is great. But that pass, Danny, was incredible. Like, just to filter that pass through the middle. And then Forsling goes to your favorite shot and what you tell everybody, the backhand. Use that backhand. Get good on the backhand. And it's actually, it's a good shot, even though Shesterkin gets part of it. He goes 7-hole, you know, above the pad, below the glove. But you talk about it all the time. Backhand, backhand, backhand.
Not the last time it happened in this game either, but Bennett talked about what he saw, how he was able to make that play and comprehend it from his vision on the ice.
Yeah, I was just, I was taking it through the middle. They kind of backed off a little bit. I had Chucky on my left as well. Was thinking about passing to him, and then you know, Goose made a great play to just skate right to the net, and I was able to find him in the middle, and a great finish by him as well.
Well, that was really just an amazing finish by Forsling, and we've been singing his praises during the course of these playoffs. He, again, is doing great things defensively with Ekblad, but great defense results in offensive opportunities. Yet I was really amazed to see him just without any fear, just jump right in there.
Yep, just perfect, perfect timing. You know, timing beats speed all the time. And Bennett made a really good play. And Bennett can be, like Kachuk, an absolute pain, but he's also a very good player.
Anton Lundell also has been under the wing of a guy that should be everybody's mentor, and that, of course, is Sasha Barkov, the captain of the Florida Panthers. He's been having a great run, too, and he scored an absolutely critical goal to put the Panthers in front halfway through the third period.
Right side for Roslovic. He whips it on net. A right pad save made by Bobrovsky, and the rebound is taken out of harm's way. Luostarinen. Then on for Lundell. Left side of the circle. Lundell a shot, and he scores! Anton Lundell gives the Panthers their first lead of the night. He lets it rip out of the left circle. It's 2-1 with 9:38 to play here in the third.
Anton Lundell's goal breaks things open for the Florida Panthers and gives them the lead with not a ton of time left. He talked about that particular play and what it meant.
Yeah, that was huge. You know, we had some good chances in the third, and we were playing really good. Felt like we just had chances after chances, and just kept grinding and trusted that we're gonna get the chance and the goal. And when we got it, we really just tried to stay on top of them and keep the lead.
Lundell also talked about Barkov and what he's meant. We've talked a lot about Pavelski having the effect on the career of Wyatt Johnston, but how big of a mentor has Barkov been for Lundell?
I don't think I could have had a better guy to be here for me. You know, coming here, had a hard time with the language, you know, hard time with everything, you know, how to live in America, you know, it's a lot different, but he helped in small details outside hockey even more, you know, but overall, like, he's been a huge factor for me and the whole team as well, you know, but we also have so many great guys during these years that I've learned so much about small details. But yeah, I have to say he's special, you know. He's unique. He does a lot of things that I don't think works for anybody else. You know, he has his stuff he does, and probably the hardest working guy we have in the team. So it's fun to follow him for sure.
There it is again. Top player works hardest. It happens once again, and Lundell's really learning. He's coming along.
He really is. But again, how often when we play the Florida Panthers do we talk about Barkov? All of the time. One of the best players in the league that we never talk about, because we being the collective media, he is in South Florida. You don't watch South Florida that much. You don't watch Panthers that much and whatever. Barkov is so good at what he does. But you mentioned it, Danny. Greatness just doesn't happen. Guys are good getting in the league. In order to be great, you got to work at it. And Barkov does. And it's infectious with the way Florida plays. Because Florida took over that game, as you said, that Kreider gets the goal, and then Florida took over the game after that.
Rangers made it close, but the problem is that Bennett scored into the empty net, and so they were down by two, and yet Alexi Lafreniere was there.
Yep. Laid off the boards by Trocheck with a minute to go in his third period. Sent in deep by Fox, played by Kreider, left corner, centers. Clear to the line, stopped by Zibanejad. They score on a deflection in front by Alexi Lafreniere.
That was a great goal to make it a 3-2 game, but the Rangers ran out of time. And so the Panthers now, Drew, have a series lead, and they're going back home for game six.
Looking to go back to the Stanley Cup Finals. And they were there last year and lost to the Vegas Golden Knights. They're a better team, different team this year. I thought yesterday's game was another game where the Florida Panthers put all the pressure, caused turnover after turnover, giveaway after giveaway. They were so good with their pressure, so good with their forecheck. And it was almost relentless against the Rangers, Danny, where the Rangers just had trouble with the puck. Now, what you saw, though, with the Rangers, Zibanejad did get involved with the points. Kreider did. Now they need Panarin. This is a series where the big guys for the Rangers have got to show up.
Well, Peter Laviolette said it was a lot better for those big guys to show up this time, but they're going to need to do it again in game number six on the road just to force an opportunity for New York to get back to the Stanley Cup Final. Meantime, Florida is just totally fine with the way everything's going. Their experience last year, big part of it. And Matthew Tkachuk said that basically he's not going to change a thing.
Why would we change a thing? We're playing really well right now. Like, keep the forecheck up, keep hitting pucks in behind to make them change sides, shoot the puck, try to score the next one. I thought we did a great job with that.
Drew, let's look ahead. Final thoughts.
They're playing basic hockey, playing smart hockey. They're playing, and they're playing structured hockey. I think they're the team that is really tough to come out of the East. They look fantastic.
It's going to be a great game six there. Great game five coming up. Thanks for joining us today.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.